Welcome to the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Mike Kresnick, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Cormdale Church. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we invite you to listen in. And we pray that the things we're talking about might also be helpful to you as you minister in your own context. Today, we're talking about conflict. Guys, before I even stepped foot in Cormdale, conflict was a foreign thing to me. I had a lot of it, but I didn't know how to deal with it. I didn't have good categories for it. But since then, these last 4 or 5 years have been super helpful. Conflict still exists, but I feel like I've grown a little bit in how to deal with conflict in a healthy way. Can we just talk about categories of conflict, how to deal with conflict? I mean, Dusty, what do you got for us today?
Yeah, I think conflict's inevitable. Everybody experiences conflict. No matter who you are, no matter what, it doesn't matter what your race is, what your if you're a female or a male, married, single, widowed, whatever, everyone's experienced conflict. Conflict is inevitable. And so we all face it. And so it's an important topic. Bob, what are, I'd love to know from your perspective, what are some of the causes of conflict? I think everybody has different reasons for why they get into the conflicts they get in, certain things they think of. But from your perspective, love to know, what causes conflict?
I'm going to give you 4 categories. But before I do, I think this is an area where Christians are highly naive. So we have an idealistic view that says, since we all love Jesus, we shouldn't experience conflict, right? Like, my non-Christian family, maybe they should experience conflict. Since we all love Jesus, there should be no conflict.
Yeah.
And if there is conflict, it's like it's almost things grind to a halt. It becomes an obstacle and a roadblock because I just don't know how to deal with it. And so one of the things we've done as a staff team at Coram Deo is we've read through the book Peacemaker, which was recommended to me by one of my seminary professors. He said, if you're going to plant a church, this is the book that needs to be on your shelf. You have to know it. You have to use it. Ken Sandy is the author, and Peacemaker is a well-known ministry that helps to deal with conflict in churches. In this book, Ken Sandy says there are 4 primary causes of conflict. Here they are. Number 1, misunderstandings resulting from poor communication. Mm. Number 2, differences in values, goals, gifts, callings, priorities, expectations, interests, or opinions. So just basic human differences on things. 3, competition over limited resources. And then 4, sinful attitudes and habits that lead to sinful words and actions. And he basically acknowledges 1, 2, and 3 easily bleed into 4. But what I think is interesting to me about that list, and this is sort of new insight for me in the past couple of years, is that only the last one is sin.
Hmm. Yeah, go on.
In other words, I think for Christians, the assumption is if there's conflict, it's either because you're in sin or I'm in sin. Like, those are the only 2 categories we have.
That's pretty black and white.
Right. And what he's saying is, no, it could be that one of us has communicated poorly and we've misunderstood each other. Could be that we have differences in what we value or what we prioritize or our opinions about things, that neither one is sinful. They're just common human differences. You're an introvert, I'm an extrovert, or you know, whatever it might be. Or 3, there's a competition over limited resources. Hey, we both want flexibility in our time, and one of us has to give on that, and neither of us is willing to, those kinds of things. So it's just interesting to me that this seems to present a much fuller and bigger picture of conflict, and it says not every conflict is rooted in sin, unrepentance, wickedness, evil. A lot of it's just rooted in we live in a fallen world, and you know, we're different from each other. And so there are preferences that we have and ways that we communicate that aren't always helpful, and we can misunderstand each other and have different opinions on things. I just think that's been so helpful for Christians to go, oh, so I could have conflict with this person in my missional community that really is about they just have completely different preferences than me. And if you've been married for long, this isn't a surprise to you, right? You're like, yeah, I thought it was sinful that my wife likes to leave her cosmetics on the sink, or my husband leaves the toilet seat up or whatever. But it's actually, I can't find a verse in the Bible for that. So it must just be a preference that I have. And that's the reality. That's basic human interaction, is that there are going to be things that cause conflict that are not always sinful. And so that assumes then that if we're going to resolve conflict in light of the gospel, we can't go zero to sin. We can't go zero to the only answer is you repent of your wickedness. Mm-hmm. There's probably some categories in between of let's talk about how are we seeing this differently? Where have we poorly communicated with each other? What was your expectation here? What's my expectation? How do we both own our preferences or our opinions in this issue? There's a lot more nuances to resolving conflict than just you repent or I repent. Mm-hmm. Even though those things need to be on the list because they're certainly possibly causes of conflict. So I thought it'd be interesting just to talk about, we're talking about this because this is reality in our church. In every missional community that we have, there's some sort of conflict. You know, there's people who misunderstand each other and disagree with each other, and sometimes it's very small and insignificant things, and sometimes it's big and weighty things. What can we give people or offer people here that will help them understand, how do I process conflict? How do I resolve conflict in light of the gospel? What resources does the gospel give me for entering into a situation of conflict in a different way than the world would teach me to enter into conflict?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the first things that come to mind is I think everybody's wired a little differently. And so in amidst conflict, I either want to win. And so no matter what conflict I find myself in, I want to dominate and I'm going to win and I'm going to show you why I'm going to win this conflict. Or I just aim to please. And so no matter what conflict I find myself in, I kind of scale back, I shrink up a little bit, and I just want to please you because I want this conflict to be over with. But I also think there's a third category of I just avoid it. Mm-hmm. And so the minute I smell conflict, I just bail, which is really hard category to be in, I think. I think it's real. That's why I mention it. But it's a hard one because conflict's inevitable, like I said earlier. And so what's it look like for you? Do you just want to win? Do you just want to dominate? There's different sins in that, I think. If you aim to please, the obvious sin there is fear of man and just being at their disposal and their expense. And then if you run and you avoid conflict, well, you just lost an opportunity and you just kind of stole an opportunity from somebody else.
Great. So let's start right there. So the first thing I need to do in conflict is to know which of those three categories I fall in.
Yep.
Right? Knowing myself and knowing my tendency in conflict is crucial. So for the three categories you just gave, I'm the guy that wants to win all the time, right? I'm gonna argue you into submission. I'm gonna fight it out,
right?
I'm gonna win and you're gonna lose. Knowing that about myself has been crucial to me understanding how do I need to resolve conflict, because I know as soon as I feel that instinct rising up in me, probably I need to hit a yield sign, you know, and go, all right, hold on. My disposition here is going to be to win. Likewise, my wife has a different one. You know, she's somewhere else on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And so for her to recognize, okay, my tendency here is to sort of maybe run from conflict and not talk about it and avoid it. And so when you're self-aware enough to just know, here's my sort of default setting when it comes to conflict, it's really helpful as a starting point to go, okay, that's what I'm going to do. And so the gospel is going to need to call me to do something different than that. So for a guy like me, the gospel frees me to lose arguments, you know, fail at conflict, not win, not succeed, not have to dominate you. The gospel frees me to lose for the sake of the good of the broader kingdom and to, you know, as 1 Corinthians 6 says, right, why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded? The gospel frees me to respond differently by actually laying down my tendency to want to win.
Right.
For someone who's an avoider, the gospel actually changes them to where they're free now to enter into conflict in a redemptive way. Mm-hmm. For someone who's a pleaser, the gospel frees them from having to please people so that they can actually seek the glory of God and not just keeping everybody happy. And so those are three really helpful categories as a first step just to know, here's what my default is.
Yeah, and if you're a pleaser, the thing you need to be aware of there is amidst conflict, you're automatically going to put whoever you're in conflict with, or maybe it's an organization or whatever, you're going to put those people on the pedestal that they don't deserve to be on. And therefore, that replaces God, right? So you can't please God amidst conflict if you're trying to please man and just try to get out of this conflict or get it over with or whatever. So, yeah, after realizing those, am I trying to win and dominate? Am I trying to please the other person and just bail? Or am I trying to run or avoid the conflict? I then have to think through, I just have to have a bigger picture of the whole thing. I have to realize that this is an opportunity for sanctification, meaning God's sanctifying me in this conflict. I'm also engaged with another party, whether that's my spouse, an organization, my pastor, my teacher, my buddy, my MC, whoever. I have to realize that that's an opportunity for sanctification. God is chiseling us together in this whole thing for his glory. I also have to theologically remember he is sovereign over this whole thing. So it doesn't really matter what happens here. I mean, I need to be charitable and I need to align with scripture, theological, all of that stuff's true. But God is sovereign. This isn't on me. So we have to keep those things in mind.
So conflict is an opportunity, and it's an opportunity for me to seek my sanctification. It's an opportunity for me to seek the sanctification of others. God's presenting us here with an opportunity for gospel growth, and mm-hmm. seeing it in that light is crucial to entering into it, not with fear and not with anxiety, but with a sense of hopefulness of like, oh, let's see what God's going to do here. There's obviously, there's a chance here for us to see something bigger of the script that God's writing in our lives and in our story in this.
Yeah, and I think because it is transformational, we have to not avoid it. And we also don't want to dominate it, and we also can't please the other party. But at the same time, we also don't want to seek it out. And so I think it's important to note conflict's inevitable. At the same time, I don't want to go seeking for conflict. I don't want to be a conflict magnet, you know. But when it does happen, it's going to happen. So take advantage of it. It's an opportunity for everybody to be shaped by the conflict.
Good. Let's talk about entering into the conflict itself, right? So here's what often happens, right, is I'm aware that there's conflict or tension or disagreement. I'm not quite sure how to get into that conversation with the person that I'm experiencing conflict with, right? So there's a need for us to enter into a conversation. How do I get there in a way that's biblical and God-honoring and that sets up a framework where we can be honest with each other, agree to disagree, talk through our issues and differences? Here's a helpful, again, this is from Peacemaker. They talk about seeking a charitable solution to conflict rather than creating a win-lose scenario, right? So saying, hey, in conflict, what we're after is a solution that's good for all parties instead of a clear, I'm right, you're wrong, one person wins, one person loses, because it's usually not that simple. Sometimes it is. But oftentimes what we're looking to is, how do I enter in here acknowledging I probably have contributed something to this conflict that I need to own? You've likely contributed something to this conflict that I want you to own. And together we need to arrive at harmony in a way that glorifies God and that is honest about the ways that both of us have brought something to the table here. So how do you get there?
Well, I think, first of all, while you enter into the conflict, if you enter into that conflict with a disposition of believing the best about the other party, then you don't really have a desire to win. You have a desire for peace and understanding. And I think that's completely different, right? So if I enter into conflict and my goal is just to come to resolution rather than dominate, win, or lose, like you presented earlier, Bob, that's a black and white category, to win or lose. Somebody's going to win. Somebody's going to lose. I definitely don't want to lose, so therefore the conflict's weird and awkward now. If I enter into the conflict charitable towards the other person, I want to believe the best here. I'm working from the fundamental assumption biblically that I believe the best about you, and so let's have this conversation.
Great.
I think that changes everything.
That's
on the
fantastic.
Front end.
I want to give two tips for entering into this conversation that I learned from two mentors of mine. The first is someone who said to me, hey, here's the best way to get into a conversation like this, is to ask the question, hey, Mike, can I just be honest with you about something that has been on my mind about you? Because what I'm doing then is I'm actually asking your permission, right? Now, you could say, no, Bob, you can't be honest with me. Now is not the time. But most often, you're going to say, yeah, that's fine. What? You know, right? And so if I ask your permission, hey, Mike, can I be honest with you about something that I see? Just by you saying yes, I've asked permission to have the conversation. Mm-hmm. And so even though I might not have it quite right, I've honored you by saying, hey, can I be honest with you? The other thing we learned from another mentor that we sort of practice on our team a little bit is the idea of, I don't know where they got this metaphor from. I can't remember the source, but clearing the left column. Mm-hmm. So the idea of a left column conversation, a right column conversation is something different. A left column conversation is conflict resolution, right? And you guys might remember more of the analogy than I'm doing a fair job to here. But the idea is, if it's in the left column, I'm assuming I probably did. This might be me or it might be you, but either way, we need to kind of get it out in the open and talk about it. And so I'm not assuming that it's your fault or you've done something here. I'm just saying there's something between us that's kind of annoying me, and can we just put it out and talk about it? Mm-hmm. And that's been really helpful to us to say, hey, left column conversation real quick, you know, and then we kind of, that's like common parlance on our team for, oh, okay, let's go.
Yeah.
Right, dive in.
So what's interesting about what you're saying there is you're being proactive about your conflict. Most of the time we're reacting to conflict, either somebody that has conflict with us or me personally, or you have conflict and so you just find yourself amidst conflict. What you're saying there is you're creating space to talk about conflict, which is interesting. I don't think most of humanity does that. I did this the other night, actually, with my wife. We were on our way. It wasn't really a date night, but we were on our way somewhere. And I just said, hey, are we doing all right? Which was just a floodgate of, you know, I just opened up the floodgate to she could say whatever. And, you know, with a bunch of little kids running around, we don't have this conversation all the time. But she said, yeah, I was frustrated about this one thing, but I think we're good. And so you're proactively taking steps to talk about things that you might actually have conflict for. Now, you might find if you do that, if you're a stuffer, I'd encourage you to not be a stuffer. But if you tend to stuff your feelings, you might do that and realize, oh, actually, I have a laundry list of things we need to talk about. But that's better than the thing blowing up.
And to come back to what you said a few minutes ago about believing the best, what that I think practically looks like is to go back to those four categories from Peacemaker. If I'm believing the best about you, I'm assuming that probably the conflict I'm experiencing with you isn't sinful attitudes and actions in you that need to be repented of. I'm just going to assume, you know what, probably there's a misunderstanding here. You've miscommunicated something, or we value different things. Or I'm just sort of believing the best to me looks like sin's the last category I'm going to get to, and I'll get there if we need to get there. But right. First of all, I'm going to start assuming, man, did I misunderstand you here? Did I hear you wrong? Did we, you know, let's sort of assume that this probably isn't, you know, deep character flaw in you that needs to be transformed by the gospel. But this might just be, dude, you didn't communicate clearly, and so I heard something different than you meant. And I think that's practically what that sort of believing the best looks like, and that's often very helpful.
I think what you're getting at there, Bob, is just the reality of I want to live at peace and at harmony with people, and I'm going to assume that that's not always sinful.
If possible, so far as it depends on you, live at peace with all men, the Bible says, which I think is interesting because it says it's not always going to depend on you. Like, sometimes it's the other person's issue, and we'll get to that conversation in a second. But as far as it depends on you, as long as it depends on you, live at peace with all men. So you do what you got to do to pursue resolution of conflict and recognize at the end of the day there might be some that you can't resolve or solve, and that's okay. Here's the observation that is worth the price of this podcast for you. I stole this again from the Peacemaker, Ken Sandy. He gave us this category, and I was just like, oh, that blows my mind right there. Proverbs 19:11, it is a man's glory to overlook an offense. What Ken Sandy says is, look, it's glorious to just overlook stuff. To just say, you know what? Yeah, you did something that was obnoxious or annoying or that maybe even sinned against me. I'm just going to overlook it. Like, that doesn't matter. Don't need to hash it out. And so this is, there's some people who are going to listen to this podcast and are like, yes, finally we're talking about conflict. We got to get to the bottom of this crap, you know. And
I got some stuff to talk about.
Yeah, let's get it all on the table. And realistically, some of those people just need to grow in the discipline of overlooking offense, of saying, you know what, not a big deal. I can give you grace as God has given me grace. We can extend grace to one another. I don't need to hash out every single offense. If I'm offended and you actually objectively did something to offend me, sometimes I can just overlook that.
What stuff have you guys had to overlook in the past?
Man, that's another podcast. No, a lot of stuff, but I think that the way that plays out most obviously is just in, it's really easy to overlook minor offenses. Mm-hmm. You know, minor slight. I mean, in marriage or in a working relationship with someone, there's always going to be friction. There's always going to be like, man, I feel dishonored by you, or you said something that was just kind of rude, or you were in a bad mood. I was talking to a friend of mine on the phone a minute ago, and I was like, hey, what was up with you on Sunday? And you kind of didn't seem like you were doing very well. And she was like, yeah, I was kind of in a bad mood. And like,
oh, okay, good.
I was like, okay, you know, yeah. Overlook, not a big deal. Like, yeah. I got categories for that. That's okay. And so I just wanted to follow, hey, so are you all right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. And, you know, some stuff that was going on at work that was just kind of, you know, consuming her mind and her attention. And it came across like she was maybe offended or annoyed or not in a good place. But it was just, you know, it was something easy to overlook.
Mm-hmm. So I think that goes a long way, because if I constantly think I need to be having conflicting conversations, if on the front end of that I have an evaluative question of, do I need to overlook this or not? I think that just messes with a lot of my conflicts. You know, maybe this isn't that big of a deal. Maybe I need to absorb this. Maybe I need to look it over and just keep going. So Bob, in your mind, or maybe in light of Ken Sandy's Peacemaker, When it feels like I can't overlook an offense, then how do I know, and then where do I go with that?
Well, again, I think if I can, the assumption is if I can overlook it, I should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if I really honestly can't, then I could just go to the person and I have the left column conversation. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm frustrated with something, or I'm bothered by something. It might be all me, but I just need to talk with you about it. So can we talk? Here's what happened. Here's how it frustrated me or annoyed me or bothered me. I think that's the... So the first step is just assume that that I'm capable of overlooking quite a few things and make that my sort of default.
Yeah.
And then second step, go have the conversation when I need to. This is the other thing from the book Peacemaker that blew my mind is he talks about the progression of an idol. I think he stole this from David Pallison. We've used it. I think I've used it in a sermon some time ago at Coram Deo. But he says, here's what an idol feels like as it begins to gain control in your heart. It starts with, I desire. Idolatrous things are always usually good things that are okay to desire.
Right.
Right? I desire respect. I desire approval. I desire affirmation. I desire friendship. I desire whatever. It progresses to, I demand, right? This isn't just something I desire anymore. I now demand that you respect me. I demand that you honor me. I demand that you accept me. I need this. I deserve this, okay? And then it progresses. If you don't meet that demand now, so now it's gone from desire to demand. If you don't meet the demand, now it goes to, I judge, right? And then it quickly moves to, I punish. So now I've judged that you are evil, and now I'm punishing you for that. And so that is that's scary to me and a really good reason to say we got to get ahead of conflict before it gets to that sort of I judge, I punish. You know, if I'm sensing, man, there's a demand in me that's unmet, this person has wronged me in some way, that's the time to go begin to have the conversation. What we find a lot of times is because Christians are sort of not sure how to resolve conflict, they sit on it for a long time. And so 2 years later, it's turned into something way bigger than it was at the beginning. You know, it's been thought about and pondered and harbored for months or years. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes a way bigger deal than it should be. Mm-hmm. And it's eating people alive just because they were like, hey, could have had this conversation a day after it happened and probably wouldn't have been a big deal, but now it really is a big deal.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up because I had a conversation today with a guy who had some issues and he had some conflict, not really major conflict, but just some clarifications. And so I think it's important amidst conflict to get your facts straight. And that'll probably dissolve 50% of your conflicts if you just knew the facts of the other party. And so he came with a note sheet and just said, hey, I have some questions. And this is after processing for quite a few months. And I think these thoughts are coming to resolution in my head. But my conscience isn't clear on them. And so can you just answer these couple of things for me? And I was like, yeah, great. And it was a great lunch, a great conversation. So I think just getting the facts straight amidst conflict too is something that we have to do. We have to scale back, pull back, get my facts straight, and hear the other party.
Very good. Thought it'd be interesting to close with the reality that, right, people listening to this podcast will generally probably respond, hey, that's good. We should resolve conflict. I'm motivated to resolve conflict. Let's, you know, there's maybe a conflict I'm aware of in my life right now. I need to go pursue and have a conversation and deal with it.
You're welcome.
The reality, though, is there are some conflicts that don't get resolved right away, right? There are conflicts that linger. There are, to say it another way, I'm not God and I can't control another person's response.
Right.
And so occasionally I get involved in situations where this conflict, the resolution of this conflict is dependent on the other person's willingness to respond, and they're unwilling to respond at this point. Where does that leave me, and how do I walk in integrity with the Lord in the midst of something that's sort of hanging out there unresolved, and there's not really a whole lot I can do about it?
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation, but I think biblically, you need to be able to go to bed with a clear conscience that you're doing things right according to Scripture, right? So if you find yourself amidst ongoing conflict, I think that does happen, and it's unfortunate. I think you have to realize, too, that that's just a reality of our broken world. This is a post-Genesis 3 reality for us. We're living amidst brokenness. Our ongoing conflict is a sign of that, and it reminds us of that, and it makes us long for a Savior that's going to resolve it ultimately. But I think amidst it, I have to be going to bed with a clear conscience that, no, according to Scripture and according to even third-party counsel at this point and wise counsel from outside, because you obviously want to do diligence there and make sure that you're not just crazy. Am I going to bed okay with this? Is my conscience clear when it comes to trying to resolve these things, trying to live at peace, trying to bring about harmony and reconciliation? And so I think that's key the whole way through.
And I think the sort of continually entrusting that to the Lord, entrusting myself and that conflict to the Lord, and saying, so God, I think of David's prayer. I want to say Psalm 19, you know, see if there's any hurtful way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. That sort of, God, examine me, look in me, show me if there's anything that's out of sync with your truth. And then that's sort of going to bed with a clear conscience, like you said, but that being an ongoing discipline. And then just the reality of saying, God, this thing's in your hands. I want to resolve it, want to deal with it. I'm not in control of when and how that happens, and so I'm going to walk in faith and sort of continue entrusting this to you and longing for redemption in the long term, new heavens, new earth, and also redemption in the short term, the resolution and reconciliation of whatever this conflict is.
Yeah, and I think as long as the conflict goes, the same time you want to be doing some examining, if you will, and just be praying that thing the whole way through, right? God, as long as this conflict lasts, please cleanse me, help me to see any wrong in me. And that's the unfortunate reality of long-term conflict.
I think we would all say the best relationships in our lives are always the ones that have had conflict and it's been worked through. Right, yep. Those are the deepest relationships are the ones where, yep, we've had to fight and we've fought it out and we've resolved stuff. The shallowest relationships in your life are the ones where there's never been any conflict. It might be really good, like you might really enjoy those people, but they're generally not very deep relationships because you've never gotten down to bedrock. Like, dude, we just disagree on this and we had to fight it out, or you know, this person and I have fought with each other or misunderstood each other. So one of the beauties of community is the more skilled and faithful we are in resolving conflict, the deeper our relationships become. And the poorer job we do, or the more a conflict we avoid, to go back to how you started this thing, Dusty, the more we avoid conflict, the more shallow and temporary our relationships are likely going to be.
Right.
So part of building a healthy, vibrant gospel community is, man, being persistent in resolving conflict and learning to do it well. So I hope that this podcast has been a helpful start, and we would highly recommend the book Peacemaker as a great resource for anyone who wants to do further additional reading just on the topic of conflict and how to resolve it.
Thanks, gentlemen. That's going to do it for this week's conversation. We invite you to join the conversation or suggest conversation topics by tweeting us at Coram Deo Omaha on Twitter. We'll talk to you guys again next week on the Wednesday Conversation.